I'm just 51. My eyes feel like they're 101. Yeah, so good morning. Good to see you. Let's take our King James Bible, Romans chapter 4 this morning, if you will. Romans chapter 4. We'll get into something here that it's pretty simple, but it's still needed. I appreciate the Word of God, amen. And I'm here. I'm not a theologian. I'm not an expert in no means, in no way, but I just want to help you get in your Word of God, get in the King James Bible. Maybe we can look at something together here and help you along life's journey, amen. So Romans chapter 4, we'll get into it here. And this morning, just the content of faith. Let's see here, it's 9:24. The content of faith is going to be the subject here. Romans chapter 4, and we'll hop on Abraham for a few minutes. How's that sound? Romans chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. We'll just get right into the Word of God, into the message. Paul said, "Why shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath worshipped the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin." And so Paul gets on this, and then let's read a little bit about Abraham. Now, he's talking about Abraham. Look at verse 11 in your Bible. "And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of that faith of our father Abraham, which had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he," now pay attention, "the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." So let's drop down here. We'll see here. Look at verse 16. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure that all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to also which is the faith of Abraham, his father saw. And so, verse 17, "the promise, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Look at Abraham, "who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore was imputed to him for righteousness." Now, I'm going to stop right there. We're not going to get into good stuff yet, but we see here that Abraham was imputed in him as righteousness by faith. The Bible says in verse 21 that he, being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham was persuaded that what God said that he was going to do, God was going to do it. Abraham didn't doubt God there. He believed he's going to be an heir, he's going to have a son. He believed those things. And God said, "Abraham, I'm just going to impute my righteousness. I'm going to make you right in my sight," which that's all that matters. Amen? "I'm going to make you right in my sight by you trusting what I said to you. What you can and should believe for me to make you right." Abraham believed that. Faith is a persuasion. It's a persuasion that the thing that is spoken that you read is true. You're persuaded of that. Abraham was persuaded of what God said to him. It's very simple. He was persuaded, "I'm going to have a son. And though I'm all old age, I'm going to have a son. I'm old, 99-year-old or whatever. And I'm going to be an heir. I'm going to have an heir, and all the nations will be blessed." Abraham was persuaded of that. And so when he believed that, he believed that it was true. Abraham believed it was true. And we trust the gospel, the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, we believe that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, the justification of life. What are you saying? Well, you're like Abraham or anyone else in your Bible, is the content of faith has changed. We're believing what God said He's done for us. We're believing that Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. The Bible says, by which you're also saved, if you keep in mind what I preached unto you. So we're just believing what God said. Amen? And God imputes His righteousness unto us because we believe the gospel of the grace of God. We believe what He's done for us. Amen? And so God righteousness is imputed unto us. But Abraham was persuaded. I'm persuaded. I believe that which God said is true. And when you take the gospel of the grace of God, you take the preaching of the cross, and you see that today, and you believe that today, then you are persuaded of it also. Persuaded. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present or things come, or any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1 and 12, Paul said, I know whom I believe and persuaded he's able to keep by which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul was persuaded. Persuaded that he knew that Christ is what he is, that God done for him. Thank God Paul was persuaded by it. His whole ministry testified that he trusted God. Amen? In our ministry today, your salvation is there because what God said He done for you. Look at Romans, or look at verse number 4. It's verse number 3. For if Abraham justified by the word, said, where of glory, but not before God. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted him to righteousness. So we see there that as Abraham was imputed righteousness unto him because he believed what God said to him, and so we, the believer, is the same way. It's trust in the thing. It's trust in the thing. It's trust in the person. Thank God that you find the person trustworthy. Amen? Does anybody find God trustworthy this morning? Do you find Christ trustworthy this morning? You find the Holy Spirit trustworthy this morning? I found the gospel where He died for my sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Trusting that to be saved, meaning having eternal life, trustworthy. Amen? I'm not believing that Abraham had a son in his old age. Righteousness of God is not imputed unto me because I believe Abraham had a son in his old age. Amen? I'm not saved on the account that Abraham believed he's going to be his nation's going to be in his seed, so all nations shall be blessed. That's not what I believe. My salvation sits right there. I believe that Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's the content of the faith that's given us today to believe. Amen? Now, we know what Genesis 12 means. I'll leave that to somebody else to teach. There's a lot of things here. A lot of depth here, aren't they? But God didn't say, hey, Brother Brian, I'm going to give you a son when you're 99. Okay, if He did, I believe that. But He said, the righteous wishes of faith, we believe that Christ died for our sins, buried, rose again. You see the content of faith there? The content of faith of Abraham is different than the content of faith that we have today. But we're believing the same God. We're believing the same Word. And we're trusting in the same Spirit by the Word of God. Ephesians 1 and 13, Paul says, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom after you believed, you received with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Word trusted and believe in the same verse. Persuaded of what God's done. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, Brother Jan mentioned, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. How do you trust God? By believing what He says to you. No different than Abraham. No different than Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. No different in believing and trusting God. Okay? That's the bottom of trusting God. And we trust God by the gospel that's preached to us today in the dispensation of the grace of God. Amen? So we can see by the Scripture. For what saith the Scripture? Verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? Paul puts in the question. For what saith the Scripture? So that's it. So if you look, it says, for what saith the Scripture, you go, well, God has a lot to say in 66 books. Amen? I believe everything God said in this Bible. Do you? How many times do you see, well, I just believe what God said. The religious folks are really up on that. You witness them in the gospel. Well, I just believe what God said. All right. I'll see you next Pentecost in Jerusalem. You want to ride with me, or you want me to get a plane together, or what do you want to do? Well, no, don't do that. Well, how do you know? I'm confused now. You preach, say, water baptism don't save you. It has nothing to do with it. You're saved by grace through faith. Amen, preacher. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And turn right around, read them Mark 16:15, and then, well, that ain't that's what it means, Brother Brian. Yes, it is. So, there's something there we got to understand about rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? Dispensational Bible study. So we can see that we trust. It's the content of faith. Look at verse 11 in Romans 4. Here's Abraham's content of faith. And Abraham received the sign of circumcision, and he sealed the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been served, that he might be what? The father of all them that believe. Though he be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto him, a father of circumcision. So Abraham, and go further down. Let's go what the Bible says here. Verse 17 is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Verse 18, he says, so that thy seed be, that he might become the father of many nations. Verse 19, be not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, talking about Isaac being born. You see the content of Abraham's faith there? Do you see that? That's the content of Abraham's faith. Amen? Do we believe that? Yes, you do. You believe that? You say, well, I've got eternal life. No, sir, and no, ma'am. That's not the content of your faith. God's there. Christ's there. There's spiritual, if you will, the understanding is there. You can see those things. But the gospel of the grace of the gospel that saves you today is not there. The content of the faith that saves today is not there. So, we go on. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Lord promised Abraham, He said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. I'll make thee a father in many nations. Did He not? Genesis 15 and 6, He said, God telling unto Abraham it's righteous. It's why? Just he believed God. That's pretty simple. This is what Abraham believed in God and His Word and His promises and who he believed. And the evidence is for what saith the Scripture in verse number 3 of Romans 4. Amen? That's the evidence. Amen? You know, you believe God, you believe His Word, believe everything about His Word. Amen? I believe everything there. Remember a gentleman said one time, he got on a plane, he's never flew before. He was sitting in the aisle seat, the gentleman across the aisle was sitting there. First time this one gentleman flew, he was reading his Bible. Amen? I know the feeling. I flew one time, don't want to fly no more, Brother Dan. Amen? I feel like I'm an ant strapped to a bottle rocket. You know? And so he was there reading his Bible. Jim said, you believe that Bible? Brother said, yeah, I do. I believe. He said, you mean you believe that even Jonah was spitting it in this whale? But yeah, God said, I believe it. And he said, when I get to heaven, I mean to ask Jonah about it. The man said, what if Jonah ain't in heaven? He said, well, you can ask him about it. Amen? And you can ask him about it. For what saith the Scripture? Amen. And that's what we're at. What saith the Scripture? I really like Brother Stephen's board. That's really fancy. It's really nice. Something to be envied a little bit. Whew, that's a bad word, ain't it? But I really like it. Amen. Amen. And so we see it there. So our faith should never stand upon men's opinion. It should never stand upon men's ideas. It stands upon the Word of God and the Word of God only. Amen? The Bible is not a book of philosophy. The Bible is not a book of opinion. The Bible is, thus saith the Lord. Amen? And so we take this Bible and we read it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you can rightly divide, the opposite of that is wrongly divide. And your Bible is written dispensationally. There is such things as progressive revelation. And that's the content of the faith. Look at Romans 4. Abraham, Paul said, he believed God was going to give him a son. Did he not? He believed he was going to be the heir of the world, the nations. His heir was going to come up. Did he not? Oh, but that's not how we're made righteous. Because Paul puts in the two verses there, it kind of sets the tone. Look at verse 24 and 25 of Romans 4. I'll just let you read it solidly. That's how we're made righteous. That's the content of the faith Paul is preaching. Do you see that? Don't believe your Bible, do you? That's what it says. Verse 23, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall" what? "Be imputed if we believe" what? "If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." Do you see that? That's the content of our faith. You know what Paul just did there? He said, "Woo! I'm going to give you some revelation. Progressive revelation." He started out with what you could find out that you can read in Genesis, and he picked up something here that he preaches in the dispensation of the grace of God and the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of the preacher of the cross. He preaches that verse 24 and 25. So your Bible just says, "Hey, a little dispensation of something going on here. Pay attention to what's going on. A little progressive revelation." You ever noticed that before? Something there. So that's what we believe in it. It's what we do. Paul's bringing this out. Now, it's given, the Bible is given dispensationally by revelation, progressive revelation, dispensational understanding. To rightly divide the word of truth is God's way of revealing His will and His purpose to mankind in a period of time or certain ages. Okay? That's how it does. Look with you in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 in your King James Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3 in your King James Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll read a few verses. In verse 1 and 2, you can see the dispensation of the grace of God which is given you to me to youward. In Revelation, he said, verse 4, "My knowledge in Christ, the mystery of Christ." Verse 5, "My others not made known." Verse 6, "The Gentiles shall be fellow heirs, the same body, the promise by Christ, by the gospel." Verse 8, "Unto me, whom less than least all saints is grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Verse 9, "To make all men see was the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, and through all things by Jesus Christ." Okay, to the intent that now, but look at verse 11. Paul says, "This, all this is given to me for this purpose." This is it. He says, "According to the eternal purpose, which is purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's what we know in the dispensation of the grace of God, the mission is given to Paul. He's saying there, that is the culmination of it. That's it. We will not know the purpose of God. We wouldn't be blessed by the purpose of God and the will of God and the grace of God until Paul revealed it by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the content of faith. Our faith is the same as Abraham's anyone else, but we're not believing. We're not saved. Well, he had a son. Whew, that's the gospel. That gospel's not going to save you. It's not. He's going to be out. No, that's not going to save me. If I blessed you, am I going to be saved today? No. You can do a good deed. It's not going to save you. But what will save you is trusting what Christ died for you. He was delivered for your offenses and raised in the third day of justification of life. That is the content of faith. In verse 11, "According to the eternal purpose," which is person, look at verse 12, "in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by" what? "The faith of Him." Now that's something different. The faith of Christ. The faith of Him. Amen? Something Paul brings out. So the Lord doesn't change, but His revelations and what He gives out for us to believe does change. We've seen that in Romans 4, the first 21, 22 verses, then the last three verses, you see the change. Amen? Amen. The content of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And so you're saying, well, God doesn't change, but what His revelation and His will and dispensationally, He changed. I know the world believe, most religious communities believe God. And they like to say, well, God don't change, His Word don't change, and what His will, it does too. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, they love this, Christ Jesus the Lord, the same yesterday, today, forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. James 1 and 17, He, whom there is no variance, neither shadow of what? Turning. Amen. God's the He can't change who He is. Malachi 3 and 6, the Lord says, I, the Lord, change not. Amen. Hey, I'm getting excited. I get excited over that. Amen? Amen. I, the Lord, change not. Okay? The Lord, but what He gives us, if we just noticed in just one chapter in Romans 4, is a change. Amen. So, there's changes. The content of faith changes, yes. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, bless God, they're the same. And they agree in one. But it's the same throughout all. It doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're in Matthew to John, or whether you're in Genesis 12 up to Hebrews, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in all those things the same way that sees in the day the grace of God. Same way. Amen? So God changes His revelations. For instance, the covenant. There's an old covenant given to Israel. Exodus chapter 19, you can read it there. In Exodus chapter 24, God seals that old covenant with Israel by the blood of the bulls and goats and things. He seals that covenant there. But that's not all. Okay, so God changed. He says there's going to be a new testament and a new covenant for the house of Israel. So God said, I'm going to do something else. Right? So He's going to change. He revealed something, didn't He? All right. He revealed something. In the new covenant here, you read Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, Hebrews chapter 8 through 10, and of course Paul says, Romans 11, verse 24, 25, and 26 there. How about the law and the grace and sacrifices? You know anyone today who's offering sacrifices? If they are, I don't know who they might be, but why are they not doing that? Well, Christ has sacrificed for us all. We don't need to do that. Well, that's not good enough. Okay, you don't understand the Scriptures. That's all your response is. So why does the churches today not have an altar out in the yard and have wood built up? Why not that? Well, they recognize there's some change, right? They recognize there's something different that God has revealed, right? Amen. There's something different. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 14, for you're not under law, but under grace. Amen. God changed something. And that's, God changed something. There's something different there. How about food? So people, you know, I was in a discussion with food, noticing how God changes things. He changes His will. His revelation changes. He reveals more. It's like the eternal purpose in Ephesians 3 and 11 in Christ Jesus our Lord. God revealed that to us because He's doing a change that we all may be united in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Man, Ephesians 1 and 10. But we're not there by believing what Abraham believed. We're not there by believing what Noah believed. We're there by believing what God did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the content of faith. Are you catching on to that? So these foods. So, preacher, hey, what do we eat? Look at Genesis chapter number 1 in your King James Bible. In Genesis chapter number 1, the Lord gives Adam here, He gives Adam some information about what to eat. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielded seed to give it to you shall be for meat. So there's nothing to eat but the fruit. That's all there are to eat. But in Genesis chapter 9, when Noah comes through the flood, the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 9, look at verse number 1. See, God doesn't change, but His will and revelation does. The content of your obedience, the content of your faith, God reveals, and so there's something to believe in. It's the same God, but His Word is revealed, so He gives us something to believe in.
for us. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, be fruitful, multiply. Verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb. Oh, God changed his mind again. Amen. Hey, so I'm just eating some bananas and apples now, all of a sudden, guess what? Hey, I put pig on the table now. Amen? Yes, sir. Who don't like a pig? If you ever raise pigs, be around pigs, I don't even know how in the world you would like a pig. So you got to forget all those things and just remember you put some barbecue sauce on and smoke it, it's pretty good. Amen? I've been around pigs. My grandfather used to raise hogs. Whew, that's nasty. Man alive. But it sure was good to eat. Amen? You see here, something's changed. But again, let's go to 1 Timothy 1, and I'll say this. In Leviticus chapter 11, the Lord gives a direction to Israel about clean food. Things to eat, things not to eat. So, there's three times the Lord has changed His direction in your King James Bible. But I thought God changed not. No, He don't change. But His will and revelation comes through, it does change. And that's what the world is missing, is this right here. Religion is missing that. Traditions, ideas, philosophies. You know, I preached, I've been teaching here lately about rightly dividing the word of truth and things, and what forgiveness is, and what baptism really is, and so forth and so on. And boy, I could just see the commentaries, them preachers reaching for the commentaries. Pull them off the shelf. Well, that ain't what Brother So-and-so said. That ain't what my instructor said up here at Tennessee Temple. That ain't what he told me. Well, he's backing up something that he believes. He's convicted over his beliefs, right? But until he can see the truth, he can never be convicted over it. Amen? And so look at here. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now look, so three times God's changed. But in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, or chapter 3, sorry. 1 Timothy 3. Let me see where I'm at. 1 Timothy 3, we see here, chapter 4, sorry. Hey, we'll get there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look what the Bible says, and the Spirit speaketh expressly, verse 1, that a lot of times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanded to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, and them which believe and know the truth, for every creature of God is good, and nothing be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen? There's four times God changed His mind. I thought God changed not. And so that's what we're looking in the Scripture. The content of faith. Content changing. God's given some things out. Amen? And so we look at that. Well, what about acceptance with God in nationality? You know, the Jewish nation is God's chosen people. They are the apple of His eye. And He is going to make them the head of the nations. Once again, He will do that. Amen? They are a chosen, a royal priesthood. Matthew chapter 10, Matthew to John, Matthew 10 to 6, said, go not in the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15, he told the Canaanite woman, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Until she said, by verse 24, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Christ is like, oh, she recognized my prophetic office. Just like any Gentile will if they want to be saved in the millennial and the future, just like it was in the past. Man, something's going on. He didn't give her, well, I'm going to die for your sins, be rose again. I wasn't there, was it? So, but he was sent to them. Romans 15 and 8, Paul said, for Christ was a minister of the circumcision to fulfill the promises God made in the fathers. Pretty simple reading. Amen? When was that? Matthew to John. When did you see Christ? Matthew to John. When did you see Him walking on earth? Matthew to John. How many times in your Bible do you got to read only the house of Israel. Only the house of Israel. How many times do you need to read that before something clicks? So you know what? He's not talking to me. I'm not a Jew. So there was a time it was that way. But now Paul says, look at Galatians chapter 3. Paul says here, in Galatians chapter 3, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, Paul says, verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, For as many as you've been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? By the way, Abraham's not my father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave that alone, Brother Steve.
Okay.
Don't want nobody get mad at me. So, here, and then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, where there is neither what? Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen? How did you get in Christ? By trusting what Christ done for you? By the gospel and the grace of God? That's how you got in. How did anybody else get in Christ, as Paul would say? How did, by trusting the revelation that God gave to them to believe in Him. Amen? Just like Abraham. You believe Abraham's in hell? You believe Abraham's condemned? No. Because he believed God. And God said, I count you as righteousness. He's not taking that back. Amen? But you're not in God. You're not imputed righteous because you believe Abraham. Well, he believed that he's going to have your righteous because you trust what God done for you at Calvary.
Amen.
Amen? See, the content of faith. And we're seeing how God changes things. So not only, see, Christ was sent to the lost sheep house of Israel. Oh, but Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul will say there, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. And come in knowledge of the truth, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, retestified due time. Titus 2 and 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Amen?
Amen?
All men. So there's something that sings there. Amen? How did it appear to all men? 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, you got the King James Bible? That's how it appeared to all men. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in your King James Bible, verse number 19. Trust me, I just love to back up and get it all. Amen. And just teach on that. Get in that hole and get in that row and start hoeing, Brother Dan. Amen. Just love to do that. Verse 19, to wit that God was what? In Christ. Reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and hath committed unto us what? The word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ, that be ye reconciled to God. That's what's left for the unbeliever. God reconciled himself to us. Now for you to have eternal life, you've got to be reconciled to God. You've got to believe the gospel. Christ died for our sins, the buried, rose again the third day. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. God's made Christ to be sin for us, that we, the believer, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's believing and trusting what God done for you. Now, that brings me to the next point. Here's another thing how God changes. So forgiveness. We all know forgiveness. Amen? It's free to all. And I'm just stupid enough to believe that God reconciled the world and you're not saved today because God forgave you sins when you trusted the gospel. You're saved when you trust the gospel of Christ. He's not imputing trespasses unto us. He's not counting them against us, is he? If he is, then let's go to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just enough to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? How can I be 2 Corinthians 5 and 17? For if any man be in Christ, he's a... All things are... I can't have it both ways. The content of your faith has changed. Well, God wants you to believe. Amen? He reconciled us. He cleared the deck. He said, just come to me and believe what I've done for you. Amen? That's outside of Israel. So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, the Lord said, it's conditional. If you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not, your Heavenly Father will what? Not forgive you. All right. But Paul says here that he made Christ to be sin for us. So what kind of sense does that make? If we got to confess our sins and if we got to forgive us, be forgiven, when the Bible says that he reconciled the world to himself and that our trespasses And all our sins was placed upon Christ then, and it's preached that way today. Does that make any sense? Then you get confusion. Now you know where religion is getting its basis. I preached in a Baptist church for 12, 14 years. I never once in my life preached 1 John 1:9. Do you know why? Because I know what my Bible said. I could preach a lot of things, but that's one thing I could not preach. But I had church brother, boy, they was all over it. Well, that's a Christian verse. That's a maintenance verse. And I would say, there ain't no maintenance verse there. Either you're forgiven or you're not. Paul says this. And we have contentions. That's all right. There's a bunch of brides in the Baptist church, too, I'm just going to tell you. This bridal mentality. This lordship. And so forth and so on. But the Bible says here that we're forgiven. Matthew 3:6. What they do? Water baptize and confess their sins. Same thing the Lord's teaching in Matthew, the same thing that John's teaching in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Same thing. It ain't changed. Same thing. Paul never once tell you to be baptized to be saved. Did he practice water baptism? Yes, he did. But that's progressive revelation. If you go to Acts, he took Timothy to be circumcised because of the Jews. Woo, hold on now. Now I'm really getting confused. But that's not all. He kept the Pentecost. He told the Corinthians, I must go to Jerusalem for the Pentecost. Something's different, right? So, progressive revelation. God changes His will. Amen? Amen. So forth and so on. So it makes no sense to confess sins when it's already laid upon Christ. So, what are we talking about? The content of faith. I love what Paul says. Let's go back to Romans 4 and we'll stop. Brother Steve told me I had another hour if I wanted it, but I'm going to cut it short. Thank you, baby. Romans chapter 4. What are we doing? We're just studying right division. That's all we're doing. Seeing the basis here and the content of faith, how the content of faith changes also. Romans 4, Paul spends time here saying why Abraham was imputed righteousness in him. Why? He believed he was going to have a son and an heir of the nations, right? That's what he believed. But in verse 23, 24, and 25, this is our imputed righteousness. What does it say once more? Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but for us also to whom, look, it shall be imputed. If we believe what? If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was what? And was raised again for our justification. That's the content of our faith. I love how Paul and the Holy Spirit says, look here, Romans 4, boy, Abraham, blah, blah, blah. The content of faith changes in verses 23, 24, and 25. And your whole Bible's there. And that's where we're at today. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, I'm saved today. Amen. I have eternal life. I'm sealed. I'm completed. I got a future, thank God, in heaven. Not because of anything I've done, because of what God done for me through Calvary. Amen. I can say with Paul that today, now I have a mark. I'm pressing toward the mark. I can say with Paul that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I can say with Paul, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that? The most important decision you'll make in your life is to trust Christ, what He done for you at Calvary. That's the most important decision. If you haven't done that this morning, you can do that right this second. I've never been the same since I've trusted Christ. Not that I'm perfect, but thank God I got, you know what, I just trusted Christ. You know what I got with Him? Everything that I'd ever need. Brother Jim was talking about that. Everything I ever need in this life I've got in Him because of Him. I tell you, we sang the song in the Baptist church. You tell you about the, take the place, tell you about the time the Lord saved me and so forth so on, wherever that is. You know, whatever. But I know the place where I've trusted Christ. I know where that was. I know where that was. Is it special? No, not really. What's special is me trusting Christ. Amen. But I can take you there. How about you? Can you say that? if you can't do it today. God bless you. We love you. Thanks for your attention.